Welcome to the ATL Podcast Network.
Running the Point with Jason Carey on the ATL Podcast Network, the intelligent podcast. Welcome to Running the Point with Jason Carey. Who I have on the court with me today is a visionary, entrepreneur, author.
Preach.
a guy that I respect, and I say this every podcast, that the people that I have on the show is no coincidence. These are people that I respect their opinion, because this is the intelligent podcast. So, but what I also started doing is allow the person to introduce themselves as well. I want to welcome to the court my man Ryan Hill. What's up, Ryan Hill? How you doing, brother?
What's happening? Hey, thanks for having me, Jason.
Man, no problem, man. Now, if you want somebody to introduce you, what would you have them say?
I would have them tell me that in advance.
So you can write something.
Yeah, so I can have somebody write something for me. and it'll sound good. I'm looking at the screen here and I'm noticing that you brought me up right after Rodney Perry. That's unfair. But no, seriously, if I had someone to say, hey, we're bringing up Ryan Hill, first thing they always say is founder and CEO of Timeless Brands USA. That's a Atlanta-based experiential marketing and digital storytelling firm. Mm-hmm. We've represented many of the nation's most recognizable brands, from Ford, American Cancer Society, Hillshire Farms, many more. I won't just spend this time talking about that, but what I would want them to say about me more than anything is I am a guy that does not have a ceiling. Mm. I believe that it is your ability well exceeds your vision and your dream.
Mm.
But you have to be able to see the next level before you can achieve the next level.
Vision.
So, yeah, I'd like for him to talk about that. You know what?
Hence me starting off with visionary.
Yeah. And now that you've asked me that question, Jason, I think I'm going to go and write something down.
Write something down?
Yeah. So I can impress myself the next time I'm asked that.
Word. Now, I say that because I have had people who know me from a surface maybe and try to introduce me. Or mm-hmm. they'd be like, yeah, that's Jason the Hype Man. And that's so below mm-hmm. my skill level and what I do for mm-hmm. real. So I say, man, let me ask other people how they feel about how you be introduced.
Well, since you put me on the spot, Jason, let me put you on the spot.
Uh-huh.
How would you introduce me?
How would I introduce you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, get ready, world. he put me on the spot. Let's see what he had to say.
Well, I think I just did it. How would I introduce you? As I said, CEO. I would just say CEO, a visionary, a leader, and a mentor. Those are the things. Those are the bullet points. Outside of them, we get personal. We talk about a father and a provider. We put all that in there. But on a business level, those are the big words. Those are the champion. Those are the big ones. You're definitely, I talk about mind of a champion, you're definitely a champion. So, and that's not because you're here. I would say that if you was not here.
I'll take that.
So,
thank you very much for that.
Indeed, man. So today on Running the Point, the jump ball, man. The jump ball here on the Running the Point, the jump ball will be the subject. So the jump ball today is you must perform. I want to say you must perform. You must respond. That's what I want to say. You must respond to the pressure to succeed. You must respond mm-hmm. to the pressure to succeed. And that's just a statement. And so when I say that, we all, I would like to say that we all see pressure, mm-hmm. A level of pressure from outside, from family, from friends, from self. And some people, there's a school of thought that you ain't got to do nothing. You do what you want to do. Some people say, I mean, I'll do what I want to. I ain't got to respond to nobody. Can't nobody pressure me. There is a school of thought out there
mm-hmm.
About that. From my point of view, the pressure to succeed, I think I've told you this before, and to anybody that's listening, I have a tremendous, tremendous pressure to succeed.
Right.
And it's not only external, but it's internal as well. Yeah, when I say internal, it's because I went off the path. I went off the path. I went to A&T. I graduated with honors. My sisters saw that. I came out. I worked as an engineer. and the whole time I'm performing and doing this other thing.
I'm sorry, Jason. Can we go back? You said you went to North Carolina A&T.
North Carolina A&T. Aggie Pride.
And I knew that was coming.
Uh-huh.
and you graduated with honors.
And I graduated with honors.
And that was with a engineering
uh-huh.
degree.
Uh-huh.
Now, are these alternative facts, or can we do some fact checking on this? Can we have the fact checkers? To pull that up.
I had to bring my transcripts out for
North,
that.
North Carolina A&T. Jason Carey.
Yeah. Jason Carey,
we
yeah.
need to get the fact checkers on that.
I got the paperwork and everything. It's not just on my ring.
Oh, you got the ring.
I got the ring too. So, nonetheless, on a serious note, the pressure, I got to take care of everybody.
Right.
It's always been the Superman persona. You see, if anybody knows me, I got Superman everything. Mm-hmm. And it's not about the white guy and the cape. It's just that everybody came to Jason. Jason can do it. Mm-hmm. Anybody can do it. Jason can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I embodied that. My dad, when my little sister was born and my mother passed away, my dad said, you got to take care of her.
Your little sister.
Yes.
Right.
Your job is to take care of her.
Right.
Whatever she wants. If she need, your job is to take care of her. Mm-hmm. Then when I had another little sister, oh, mm-hmm. you got to take care of her.
Mm-hmm.
You are the example. And my mom always says, so my dad remarried anybody just listening and be like, mom, that's my mom. She raised me. So my mom always says to me, she always said that we got to get you right. If we get you right, the girl's going to fall in line. That's how she did. So she was harder on me.
Right.
You get a C on a report card. She said, "Flip that over and see what that says on the back." Because you know, on the back of the report card, it said mm-hmm. A excellent, B is good, yeah. C
it,
is
it
average.
It would profile you based on your grade.
Correct.
Exactly right.
And she said, "What does a C say?" This is average. She said, "Ain't nothing about you average."
Mm-hmm.
So you better not ever bring me another one of these in the house.
Jason, where are you from?
Richmond, Virginia.
Richmond, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
My parents had a very similar approach when it came to grades. I know we're going to talk about quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But that drive to be successful
mm-hmm.
does start with the family.
Mm-hmm.
Mom, father, aunt, uncle, mentor. Mm-hmm. If your family member doesn't, if you don't have, if you're not blessed with a family member, sister, brother, that drives you that way.
Mm-hmm.
But C's weren't allowed in my family's household. There were dire consequences. We'll keep it PC, but there
yeah.
were dire consequences.
dire consequences.
On that backside.
Yeah.
You brought a C in the house. So, and now with four kids, I'm very much the same. I will be very, very, very direct in saying if you do not graduate with National Honor Society credits. Associated with your name, then you were not raised in my house.
Mm. Wait, you're talking about the pressure to succeed right there. That's
yeah,
right there.
Yeah. If you do not graduate with National Honor Society certificates, you definitely were not raised there.
Wow.
And let me tell you, like your mom said, mm-hmm. flip it over, look at the back, and mm-hmm. gave you the definition of a C average. That's not you.
Mm-hmm.
I tell my children from the time that they could hear my voice. I tell them, I say, you were born to be great.
Mm.
I've never told them anything different. And
I kind of go back to what we was talking about on mm-hmm. show with Roddy Perry about that. Yeah, you'd be taught that.
You were taught that.
Mm-hmm.
And I make it funny, but I'm very serious. Like I tell, you're from Richmond, Virginia. That's a metropolitan city.
Mm-hmm.
I'm from Albany, Georgia. That is not.
Yeah.
It is a town. Small town in Southwest Georgia, and I tell my kids, all my kids were born here in Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
and I tell my kids, I say, you have to understand, I didn't grow up with this nice, healthy, sophisticated education that you get in the school system up here in metropolitan Atlanta.
Mm.
I grew up in rural Georgia in Albany. So you have to forgive me because I didn't learn some of the things that you guys learned, like your alphabets.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't have that. We had the ABCs.
What's the alphabets?
Yeah, we didn't. When they started talking about alphabets, I'm like, well, there's more. So I tell my kids, I didn't do well in school. I did. graduated with honors, who did all that, went to the University of Georgia. Mm-hmm. I was a part of the 7% of black people.
Yeah,
that,
yeah. You was the third black person in your class. So.
But I tell my kids, I say, hey, you know, you have to forgive me. I did not. I just don't have this education, this quality education that you have. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to the AB, the alphabet that you guys talk about, I don't remember them. Mm. I remember A. Definitely remember that one, and then the other one.
That's
B. B.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one.
Remember that one. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Lord help me, because I just can't. So if you bring a grade in here that I don't recognize,
mm-hmm.
well, I get, you know, dire consequences.
I don't know what.
I don't. It, oh,
what's
huh?
that?
C? What's that? C what?
I understand what that is.
Yeah. I understand A's and B's. Mm-hmm. And you'll be at my youngest daughter's graduation. It's coming up. Mm-hmm. Later in May, and I reward my kids for performance.
Mm-hmm.
The same way the real world will reward you for performing well, I reward my kids the same way. So we have pay for performance. I give them money for grades.
Mm-hmm.
In high school, you get $20 for every B. I'm sorry, for every A that you bring in, and then you get $10 for every B that you bring in.
Mm-hmm.
If you bring in a C, then you owe me $10. If you bring in a D, you owe me $20. And if you bring in anything lower than a D, then you forfeit your cumulative bonus. Now, you may ask, what is a cumulative bonus? So here we go. My daughter will graduate, and the cumulative bonus is based on your entire transcript across all 4 years of being in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Tamara, my daughter, my youngest daughter, will graduate on this program at the end of May, having only made 4 B's in her entire high school career.
Wow.
Her lowest average was an 87 in any class.
Mm.
So that leaves her with 23 A's.
Jeez.
Now,
Cumulative.
That's going to cost me almost $2,000.
Yes, it is.
Because when you graduate, the number goes up. So you get $40 for every A, $30 for every B. If you make a C, you owe me $30. If you make a D, not good.
Yeah.
So I owe her almost $2,000. And let me tell you what I do with that. So my oldest daughter, Alexa, is already at Georgia State. She has her cumulative bonus, and I always put it into a savings account because we begin talking about compound interest as soon as you graduate high school. And that's a part of the pressure I put on my kids to succeed.
And the pressure on yourself to keep up on that.
Yeah, I've got to come up with this bread.
You got school books. You got the books. Like, hey, you can bring out the accountant for these grades. Yeah. I got.
Do you know how many days my daughter has come home and said, hey, Daddy, do you remember the Pythagorean theorem? And I say, yeah, let me finish this conference call and I'll help you out with it. And I go in the room and I'll go to YouTube.
I gotta remember that.
Oh, dude, I'm straight. You know who puts out some great YouTube videos as far as academia?
Who?
Cornell.
Oh, yeah.
Ask me how I know.
So, that's kind of key to what we're saying here. You must perform or you must respond to the pressure to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people don't think you do, but in your house, as you just said, you must immediately respond to it, because mm-hmm. if you don't, there's dire consequences just in life.
Yes,
for not responding properly. Now, so talking about that pressure, as I was saying that the now moving from this path, things are continuing to get better. But you and I have talked about this: the top gets higher
mm-hmm.
the farther you climb.
Mm-hmm.
Never, it's like, man, I thought I was at the top.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to keep going. So who's bigger? Is it more pressure? You put more pressure on yourself, or is it an outside influence?
Well, Jason, you know this. Inside my company, and just for the pod sphere, just the people who listen in podcast world, Jason is a member of the leadership team, my executive leadership team in my company. And we meet every Tuesday, and every Tuesday we're having conversations about the business and what's going on. And we have 10 principles in our business that we govern the entire company by. One of those principles is that you do not let the expectations of others exceed your expectation of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pressure, especially in the corporate world, because our clients bring enormous expectations to the table. Week in, week out, month in, month out, year in, year out, campaign in, campaign out.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about you for a second, Jason, because we've been working together almost 7 years.
Mm.
And when you got started with us, you were a handsome guy, no homo.
No pause needed.
Yeah, that's what they say.
Yeah.
a handsome guy with an enormous amount of energy that just wasn't rivaled. And over a few years, you allowed us to refine your approach, and you allowed us to define your approach so that it can become repeatable for you. And it's so amazing, because you talk about the pressure to succeed. Jason will tell you guys, when we bring on a new client and we have our prayer just before we go and represent this brand, I have a percentage that I apply to it. And I say, hey, you know, it's an effort percentage. And I'll tell you, hey, I can't have you at 100% today, because 100% is once you hit your 100%, that's your best. I need you to be several percentage points better than your best today. And I normally start somewhere around, you know, it needs to be at 115% of your best. Mm. I think in our last event, my floor, as far as my expectation, was at probably about 160%.
160.
About 160%. And every time Jason warns me, he say he's going to come with this percentage and it's going to be more than the last one.
Up every time.
But what has happened is, year over year, when we're representing these brands, we're getting incrementally better and better and better. And we started winning awards back in 2013 at Essence Festival, when we won the Consumer's Choice Award.
Mm-hmm.
People's Choice. People's Choice Award for representing Ford Motor Company. And we've broken a few records with you representing consumer engagement for the company.
Mm-hmm.
But does the podcast world know what you've been nominated for?
No.
So let's talk about that.
I forgot to say that last time.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Uh-huh. So it's been 7 years coming, but Jason nationally has been nominated for Brand Ambassador of the Year.
Of the year.
Brand Ambassador of the Year.
National Brand Ambassador.
National Brand Ambassador of the Year. This is not based on gender. This is not based on race. So he's not the African-American Brand Ambassador of the Year.
Lisa Turtle.
The male Brand Ambassador of the Year. This is the top position nationwide, across any brand represented anywhere. And on May 3rd, Jason's being flown to Chicago for the National Experiential Marketing Award, where they will announce the winner. So I'll be flying back from Greece to meet you there, because I'm preparing to walk the stage. And after you bring that award home, I'm going to come back on this podcast, because I want to congratulate you publicly, because I've said this before. I do not think that there is another person in the country that has the body of work, that has your level of energy, nor are as prepared as you are. So I think they're in trouble in Chicago. I think they're in big trouble.
Big trouble.
600 of the nation's top marketers will be in the room when you walk across the stage and get that award, and I will be right there.
They should have opened the door a little bit, Ryan. Yeah. They opened the door a little bit and let us in.
We warned them, Jason.
Don't let us in.
We warned them. And you know what's so interesting about this topic that you have is, anytime that you, I, and the rest of the team are out representing a brand, mm-hmm. we always go into that campaign, go into that particular engagement, wondering who's going to be second. Because number one is sold up.
Yeah.
As soon as we show up, regardless of the brand that we're representing, our team will outperform. And if there is even a glimmer of a chance that we will not outperform, dire consequences.
See what you did there. You brought it all back there. again, going to pressure, you must respond. And I say this, and the other reason I want to talk about that and why we have you on is because every single day, what people don't understand about entrepreneurship or just about independence is that every single day when your feet hit the floor, you are out here. You got to succeed. And there's mm-hmm. something driving you. Every single day, you must succeed. And a lot of people don't wake up with that same sense of urgency. Maybe not. You know, I'm not going to say everybody, but we wake up like that, I know, daily. I know this man, I get an email from him at 3:30 a.m. Mm-hmm. with a full plan for the mm-hmm. week. Mm-hmm. I'm like, mm-hmm. bruh, 3:30, all right. let's go. All right, we'll be on the phone. We'll
get on the phone. And Jason, that's because when he hit me with it, he'll wake me up out of my sleep. And when he wake me up, I'm waking you up.
Yep. That's real. That's real. So you talked about where you came from. Kind of talk about just the pressure that came from in the early stages. Like, you give us stories about mom. You give us stories about dad all the time.
I'll give you a story. We talked about this. In high school, I was a very good musician. I played 7 instruments. Mm-hmm. And I was a decent athlete. I wasn't the best.
Why'd you play 7 instruments?
Greed. Mm-hmm. And some people call it arrogance. Mm-hmm. Other people call it self-confidence, high self-confidence. But I would play. Did I ever tell you what my first instrument was? Mm-mm. The viola.
No.
My first instrument was the viola. Wow. And I went from the viola to the violin to the cello. Those are my first 3 instruments. So that's changing treble clef to bass clef.
Yeah.
That's a jump. Mm-hmm. And my first brass instrument was the baritone. Then I went from baritone to trumpet. I'm sorry, baritone to cornet to trumpet. Then I jumped over to percussion, and then the piano.
Oh wow!
So I was all over the place, but that's not where the pressure to succeed came from. Charlie Givens was my basketball coach mm-hmm. in high school. You've heard me talk about Coach mm-hmm. Givens. God rest his soul. He's passed away now, but Coach Givens had a very very simple philosophy when it came to playing basketball. And it was this. It's their job to block your shot. If they do not block your shot, it's supposed to go in. There was no more coaching. It was, hey, did
if
you
they
shoot?
Don't block it, it's supposed to go in.
Did you shoot the ball? Yes, sir. Did they block it? No, sir. I'm going to need you to get on that line. Because if it left your hand, it was within your control. If they did not touch it, it should have gone in. Mm-hmm. And he could live up to that pressure. Coach Givens would come to our basketball practices and eat Maryland's fried chicken on the side of the court and blow that whistle and tell us what to do. And we run up and down the court, run drills and suicides and whatnot. And then at the end of every practice, while we were dead tired, he said, all right, game's on the line. Who's going to come to the line now and make these free throws? We are tied. And we need these free throws to win. So, man, we would have to go and do that. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll never forget. The best player on our team was Mark Davis, happened to be my cousin. Mark Davis was the best player on the team. And he would never pick Mark because Mark was guaranteed to make these free throws. Mark asked Coach one day, he said, Coach Givens, you always tell us that if nobody blocks your shot, it's supposed to go in. Mm-hmm. He said, where are we going with this? And he said, well, we'll never see you shoot. Oh, true story. Coach Givens said he put that chicken down, came over to the court, out of shape, coach, hadn't been playing ball in forever. First shot he took was a layup right under the goal. And he was talking the entire time. You sometimes hear me say, don't talk to me about. Mm-hmm. Like if someone asks me a question, hey, man, you know,
How much it costs?
How much did that cost? Man, don't talk to me about no money, man. If you want it, buy it. If you don't want it, don't talk about it. Mm-hmm. Don't talk to me about no money. I got that from Coach Givens. Coach Givens started with a free, with a layup, mm-hmm. and literally said, man, don't talk to me about making no shot. Do you know who you talk to? I'm Charlie Givens. Talk to me about making no shot. And every shot that he made, he would take a step back. So he started with a layup, took a step back, bounced the ball off the backboard, took a step back. He did not miss a shot until he was past half court. Do you understand?
Past half court.
He was on the other side of the court shooting.
Wow.
Still saying, man, don't talk to me about shooting no basketball, man. I was shooting basketball before your mama and your daddy even thought about meeting each other talking about some basketball. That's pressure. Mm-hmm. When you're coached by a man that has that level of skill, mm-hmm. He did not expect you to miss, ever.
Ever. So why you miss? I ain't miss. I was over there.
I didn't miss.
On their side.
I was on their side of the court, still making shots. Why you miss? And that's pressure.
Okay. All right. So I had a question. So who pressures you?
I will be very honest with you. When I was in high school, I was a good student, very good student. Mm-hmm. But I was ashamed of it. I like being cool. I like dressing nice. Mm-hmm. And so, but my parents didn't play. So I couldn't bring C's in the house. So I had to make A's and B's. And my father, who's my primary motivator in life, my father's standing belief around classes and grades at school was everything is an open book test. He firmly believed that. And I didn't get that. He said, it is impossible for them to ask you a question that they have not already given you an answer to. They can't do that. Mm. So if you did not get the question right, then you must have skipped the day. That's how he thought. If you made an A, great. You was in school
every
day.
I'm laughing because I can hear him saying that.
If you made a B, yeah, must have skipped a couple of days. Mm. Anything other than B, you must be dead. You're not alive. So my father is a big, big, big motivator for me to exceed. And let me tell you why. For him to have that level of academic demand, my dad didn't finish college. Graduated high school, accepted to college, went to college. But then I was born and he took on the responsibility of working. Mm. And he is a self-made millionaire today. Mm-hmm. You've met my dad. Mm-hmm. Well, my father and I have a pact. And the pact is that he is going to be first generation wealth in our family. I'm second generation and my responsibility is to keep the trend going. So I have to exceed where he stopped. And I just finished telling you he's a self-made millionaire.
Correct.
So my responsibility is to go past that. When my father stopped, when he retired, mm-hmm. he told me this last year, and I didn't know this. He said, Ryan, when I retired, you were the reason I retired. I said, me? Whoa. What, did you think I was not doing well? Or and he said, no, it was just the opposite. I said, well, put some more words around that. I don't know where we're going.
I don't know where we're going with this
uh-huh. right now. So he said, no, I stopped because I can see where I am right now. And that's a long way down the road. And I stopped because if I go any further, I'm not sure that you can get here now.
That's got a backhanded little compliment.
I'm feeling a certain kind of way at this point.
That's a little jab. Like, man,
hold up. Well, you know, I know you had your little job and all with your little partner gambling for your little 35 years. And, you know, you got your little couple $3 million and, you know, doing well with your little stocks and stuff. I hear you. But you ain't never been a CEO. Mm-hmm. Never. And I told him, I said, you do not understand the pressure of getting up every day. And there are people that are waiting to hear from you because you need to have the answer today and tomorrow. That's when you're sitting in the chair. And Jason, you've sat in on our leadership meetings and we have good, healthy discussions and there are challenges that arise. But at the end of the day, I sit in a chair. And it's my responsibility to make sure that I'm the glue that makes it all happen. And I have the answers when nobody else does. That's a lot of responsibility. I serve the Lord faithfully. I give him, higher than anything else, credit for the abilities that I have. And then, of course, my parents come next. But, Jason, I'm going to be very honest with you, man. I founded the company with my business partner, Imari Haver. I'm the CEO of the company. But my boss is an asshole, man. He's an asshole. This dude has me sending emails at 3 in the morning.
Uh-huh.
He's waking me up in the middle of the night. I will take a shower in the morning, and I keep my cell phone right outside the shower because God talks to me first thing in the morning in the shower. And when he hits me with it, I immediately go to my voice notes and I leave myself a message. Mm. Because if I don't, my boss will be on my ass, man.
Your boss is an
asshole. My boss is an asshole. You met him.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely met him. So the question is, will you ever be satisfied? Because we talked about the top getting higher. And so before you answer that, we talk about responding to that pressure to succeed. And satisfaction, I guess, is relative or is a point of view for some people. But the question, so I'll let you answer that question. Will you be satisfied ever?
It's a dangerous question, Jason. That's a very dangerous question because I'm on my second marriage. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons that my first marriage failed, and that was majority me, not her. One of the reasons that my first marriage failed was she felt like I would never be satisfied. And it's a hard thing to turn off because I am not conditioned to see something and then to achieve what I had the vision to see. I'm not conditioned to simply say, okay, we're there now. I'm conditioned to say we have achieved the next step. And then now my job is to reveal that there is yet another step. So in business, I do not know that I'll ever be satisfied. I don't think we can have enough success. I don't think that we can have enough clients. I don't think we can make enough money. I say this all the time. Show me the person that was paid for a job that they did, mm-hmm. and got that check and said, hey, this is exactly my value. Show me that person.
For real.
I've never met him. I doubt I ever meet him. And I've got a lot of people that work for me, and I pay well. But shoot, I pay you, and you look at your check, you're like, okay, this is slightly more than the last time, but I was way better than I was the last time. So can we get the margin to be a little closer?
Mm-hmm.
So the answer in business is no. I doubt it. I'll probably move away from this business. It is likely between you and Gary, it'll get turned over to one of you guys, and then I'll be retired and coming back knocking on your door asking, hey, I saw the first quarter numbers. And but I also want to answer that from a personal perspective because will I ever be satisfied with my children? Yes. There is a point that I will be satisfied with what my children have achieved. The greatest compliment I've ever received, and I've gotten awards and wrote the book, and you're about to walk across the stage in Chicago. That's a big honor for me, mm-hmm. because that's the highest award in the country for brand ambassadors. Mm-hmm. But you are going to have to do the New England Patriots now. Because if you don't win next year, I mean, my question is going to be, it's down year.
I already know. So set yourself up. Win-win.
But let me tell you this, Jason. In your personal life, it's a dangerous thing because the highest compliment I've ever received was from my dad. And my dad came and told me 2 years ago now. He said, son, I have seen everything that I need to see out of you. And I'm 46. This year I was 44. At 44 years old, I'm like, whoa. Are we sick? Or he's like, no. He said, I needed you to know that because I've been pushing you for 44 years. And you have shown me everything that I need to see. I know you're going to do more, but I don't need for you to feel the pressure of impressing me. I've seen what I need to see. Now all you got to do is go fulfill the contract as far as the legacy of our family name and continue to push forward. So it's important from a family perspective, whether you're in a relationship or not, whether you have children or not, it's important to know that you need to be able to be satisfied in your personal life. You cannot push your spouse or your mate to the point where they feel like they can never satisfy you. And that's dangerous. It's a hard thing to do, especially as entrepreneurs, especially as overachievers, especially as high performing managers. It's a very hard thing to do to turn that off. But you need to be able to turn it off, and you need to be able to turn it on demand. That's
Jules. Dang. Forgot about the bell. Ding. Damn it. I'm sorry, y'all, that hit the cord and everything. But yeah, because when you said that, he said, we're going to put a jewel. We're going to start having the jewels bell every time somebody drop a jewel on them. Ding.
was that a jewel?
Yeah, it was a jewel. Okay. Ding. Hey, the bell.
And I don't think you've ever heard me say that before.
You just said a couple things I heard you say before, so which is the beauty in the conversation. Mm-hmm. So I did want to – I had one last question, and it pertains to this, and you kind of probably touched on it.
Mm-hmm.
But you mentioned the people around you and how the need to perform, the need to succeed, the need to respond to pressure,
mm-hmm.
how that can affect others.
Mm-hmm.
What, if anything, are you scared of or that scares you?
Jason, you're really going to be surprised with this answer. And it's not staged. It's the God honest truth.
Mm-hmm.
There are, of course, there's God, and then there's my family. And then there are the people that are closest to me, friends and coworkers. You're definitely both a friend and a coworker. My biggest fear is letting you guys down. That's my biggest fear. I push, and when you first started working with me and the company, I told you, I said, if you're not comfortable being one of the best, if not the best, you will be frustrated here. Mm-hmm. Because we are overachievers, and I do not stop. Everybody that works closely with me gets better. And I am terrified of not incrementally getting better too, so that I can continue to be someone that you and others choose to follow. Because leadership is not about, you know, dragging people saying, you know, hey, I have this title, do what I say.
Yeah.
People don't respect positions. People respect people.
Mm-hmm.
And I am I'm petrified of it. I am truly scared not to do the next big thing, not to make the next big contact, or not to come up with the next big concept, and not to have the client that has the giant results that we've generated. I'm petrified of it, which is why I lose sleep over this stuff. I'm petrified of my kids looking at me and saying, hey, you know, I thought my father would have been more. That's heavy. because I coach and counsel and encourage people to be more than they initially thought they could be. But you cannot do that if you're not an overachiever yourself. So
truth.
That's what I'm most fearful of.
Okay. That was new. I didn't know that. And on the subject of pressure, I am similar to the thing that scares or concerns me the most is letting my dad is my biggest influence as well.
Mm-hmm.
So letting him and my sisters down,
mm-hmm.
For different reasons. My dad, because he's up there and he put everything possible into me.
Mm-hmm.
And my sisters, because it was my job to take care of them,
right.
To lead them. And I never wanted to lead them in the wrong way,
mm-hmm.
Or have them looking like, my brother ain't nothing. So that's pressure. So pressure is in a lot of people's circles, in their personal life and their professional life. We started off with the jump ball.
Right.
That you must respond to the pressure. And mm-hmm. I think we're finding out that that's true on our side. I think it's true that you must respond to the pressure. Anybody that's listening can't shrug off the pressure. Now, the thing is, if the pressure's coming from somewhere you respect.
Because
mm-hmm. at times, you know, you've been on court before and somebody is terrible talking like, man, you ain't make no shots. Like, you suck. Hey, there's no way you should be telling me why I didn't make any shots. So.
with the basketball analogy, I will say this. It's kind of funny. Every time that I've played basketball, and I'm 46 now, I don't play anymore. Every time I've played, the same guy is there.
Mm-hmm.
Every single time. You've probably met him. We always call him homeboy. Because every time he's there, hey, homeboy, you going to check somebody today?
Yeah, that guy.
Hey, homeboy, you going to shoot every shot?
That guy.
That guy's there every time.
All the time.
All the time.
Don't respond to homeboy.
Yeah.
But definitely respond to people that you respect, to the moments you respect. I want you guys to respond
Can I say one more thing, Jason, before we wrap up? There is an enormous amount of pressure right now. In our country, regardless of your political affiliation, regardless what party you see yourself closest associated with, or if you're an independent,
mm-hmm.
And the pressure is to vote because you cannot sit at home and watch these news channels and listen to media, social media, and just have a complaining spirit. If you're not voting, if you're not organizing, if you're not rallying people, then you're not participating in the process. And if there's any pressure that I want to put out there just to the community at large, it's participate in the process.
Mm.
Voting is a part of what regulates our world, whether it be our country, whether it be our state, whether it be our city, community. Voting is your voice. And if you support President Trump, if you do not support President Trump, if you appreciate Obamacare or if you want to see it repealed and replaced, either way, vote. Vote. What just happened here in the state of Georgia was monumental with John Ossoff and the recent election.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what people don't realize is He's a Democrat that is pursuing a position that has been occupied by the Republican Party for nearly 50 years. And he's in a runoff.
Mm.
He's in a runoff.
Mm. Ossoff. Vote your ass off. That's what that was their campaign. It was awesome.
It was.
That was an awesome
so
campaign.
I just want to tell people, participate in the process. I'm not telling you who to vote for. Just participate.
Ding. Another jewel for us there. Respond to the pressure to succeed, man. Don't shrug it off. It's not for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
That pressure is duly is needed, and we need to respond to it. I want to say also, we don't have time. We're not going to really get into it, but author, I said that, so I got to say. Serious Business and Professional Guide to Creating a Timeless Brand, written by Ryan M. Hill.
That's me.
Senior. just if you get a chance to listen to Ryan, you get a chance to go to somewhere where he's speaking, I say do that. I encourage you to do that. If you have a chance to be mentored by Ryan, I'd say do that. So pay attention, and there'll be more coming from Ryan Hill Sr. Find him on Facebook, Ryan Hill. Is Ryan Hill Sr. on your Facebook page?
I don't know.
I think so.
It's probably.
Ryan Hill Sr., go to Timeless Brands, like that page, Timeless Brands USA on Facebook. Go ahead to that page and like that right now.
We got See Instagram us. And all those other stuff out there. It's
That's right.
Timeless
Brands. Timeless Brands on Instagram. Yeah. Uh-huh. Go to timelessbrandsusa.com to see all the things that Timeless Brands does. I thank you guys for listening to Running the Point on the ATL Podcast Network. Follow me, Jason804, and you'll see me soon. Yeah. So we got to get out of here.
I got to tell them one more thing, Jason.
What's up?
We have a training platform that we're rolling out. Jason is going to win this award. I'm proclaiming that. Once he does win the award, we're rolling out a training program for exactly how to achieve the level of success Jason has achieved representing brands. Mm. We've created a certification called a Certified Consumer Engagement Specialist. This entire training platform is built around the success that Jason Carey has achieved over the past 7 years, and he will be bringing that training to the world. He's a humble guy, successful guy, but humble guy. But somebody has to get out here and tell you the amazing things that this guy's doing.
Somebody got to tell him.
Yeah, somebody got to say it.
So, appreciate that, Ryan. Definitely appreciate that. That's coming, man. So you can listen to me on the radio, IBNX Radio, every Monday, 7 to 9. Catch us at Andretti's Live every Wednesday, Wild Wednesday. And just follow, see what's going on, man. This is Running the Point with Jason Carey, my man Ryan Hill.
Hey.
And we got to go. We out of here.